one of the areas or problems that arise for us as human beings, and again it's emphasised in these urban setups, is the problem of law and order. You know, human beings naturally create order, don't we? They create rules and systems and ways of doing things and structures, and the more we live together, the more complex those structures get to handle complexity of data and scenarios that can occur, and the number of people that can occur within it. So you get big cities or neighbourhoods, you get huge structures to make it all work in terms of our sense of human order. So we get this kind of very strong conditioning into, you know, things have to be structured and ordered, and there is an order and a structure and we should fit into it and so on. And we have to live with that, rules and regulations and no-no areas and social graces and gaffes and things that are not cool and politically correct or whatever. Yeah. So that can get pretty complex. And, you know, order is one thing, but you know, what we're... The possibility is that Buddha was pointed to is actually one of release. Release from structures. And of course, you know, subtlety of this is that Buddha definitely uses structures and order and principles and rules and so forth, but the aim is to release. And essentially what we're, you know, in very big terms, we're using certain structures and systems in order to release ourselves from these unprofitable and often unconscious kind of structures that we create, human beings create. So as you know, one of the things that human beings expect and works and is conditioned to social life, things should be regular. 10 o'clock, train. 8 o'clock, program. You know, this thing occurs on this day. We all drive on the left, don't drive sometimes on the left, sometimes on the right. Things are regular. Things occur with regularity. Things are reliable. That is, tomorrow won't be decided we're going to drive on the right side, or people with dark hair will drive on the right, people with blonde hair will drive on the left. A sense of regularity, reliability, something that's going to persist in time. But this, always this extension is something that we might say is in a virtual reality, because we don't know tomorrow actually, that's just a virtual reality right now. Yeah. So we tend to find ourselves very much structuring in terms of virtual realities, the society, whatever that is, the nation, whatever that is, the law, whatever that is, tomorrow, whatever that is, the national good, whatever that is, you know, what do these things really mean? Yeah. And so what happens is one loses the sense of individual initiative, individual freedom, individual release, because mostly we're not operating according to what individually feels okay with me, what's allowed, what works in terms of the system. And yeah, that's obvious enough and maybe true enough and maybe proper enough, and yet of course, you know, we have to recognise that all that order and structure isn't actually going to change the fact that at any time, without any kind of regular principle, one can get knocked down, afflicted, diseased, drop dead, whatever. You know, this is definitely not a regularised, predictable experience, apart from that it will happen. You know, so actually nature is rather more chaotic. And we're living with, we can't know what we're going to feel like, really. What next? The next thought will be, we don't know even. You know, what the next emotional flush will be or mood will be, we don't know. Where the next little twinge of physical discomfort will come, we don't actually know. Where the next source of happiness will come, we don't know. In truth, most of it is unreliable, unpredictable, uncertain, disordered. And yet, we keep thinking, well, we could create some kind of, you know, we're programmed into seeing things in terms of regularity, order, and structure. Yeah. So much so that the tendency of the mind is to not be able to handle the chaotic, the random, the uncertain, the unpredictable. Yeah. So when we meditate, very often the thing is, what is the system? You just give me simple 10 points that are the system. Yeah. And no matter whatever you want to do, I guarantee you they will not work. They'll work to some degree or another. They will work because that's the truth of the matter. But actually, you know, you come to a place where you feel stuck, or you feel bound by the system, or you feel stymied by the system, or you feel exasperated by the system, numbed by the system. What happened to the joy? What happened to the fun? What happened to the release? What happened to me? And they say, well, that's your ego speaking. You know, let go of that. You know, there's no self. Well, it feels like somebody here. So, you know. So, though the meditation, you do have various structures, really. What structures there are kind of the initial thing, like sitting still, sitting upright, breathing in, breathing out, in order to give you a sense of a centre or ground or recognition. And then very much the encouragement is, you've got to actually feel it for yourself. Find out what's gonna work for you, what's gonna be beneficial for you. And what exactly are we looking for in terms of benefit? And I say again, we're looking for release or relief from stress, suffering. You know, suffering, a very strong word, stress, closure, loss, absence, can't do, can't be, can't find, can't get it going, not working, you know, that kind of thing. Release from that. And essentially there are you know, a couple of very strong energies or qualities that the Buddha said are always working against them, and we can actually structure them into our lives unconsciously. One of these is ignorance, not knowing, not wanting to know, not going beyond what we know already, closing down. Staying in old habits, no matter how stuck they may seem, thinking this is all there is, ignorance, or not knowing, not clarity, a restricted state of mind, a restricted state of being, you know, bounded by dogma, you know, this is all there is, fear of rules, you're not allowed to do that, or denial, there's nothing else there but this, there's nothing else to do but this. Yeah. And very often this sense of ignorance is supported by our wish to have things certain. Strange enough. Because that which is predictable and is certain, you know. So we cling to systems, for example, because although they may not work, we feel, well, hold on to it long enough, it will. You know? Because we want certainty, we want security, and something definitely, you know, do this, do that. So, and ignorance is the, which tends to make it stick to habits and patterns that are predictable, knowable. We feel we're with that, you know, we're in that. So even if it's not particularly pleasant, at least I know where I am. This occurs very much in terms of things like what's called attachment to systems. Example, you know, very simple example, my mother, you know, always did a washing on Monday and ironing on Tuesday. So even when she was retired and 70 years old, washing's on Monday, ironing's on Tuesday. No matter what, washing's on Monday, ironing's on Tuesday. So she said to me, oh, I'm too tired. I said, Mum, you're 73 years old. You don't have to do the iron today. Well, it's Tuesday. Got through the iron on Tuesday. Well, why? Well, I know where I am then. You know, so sickness or health or whatever, ironing is Tuesday. Sunday is the roast, you know, no matter what, this kind of thing. Because you know where you are. You know. So that's, we'd say this is a restricted form of awareness. You know. Because to not, you feel funny, you feel uncertain, you think things aren't in order. Things aren't the way they. It's not. You know, it doesn't. I don't feel comfortable with that. You know? So, but this is that kind of area which you need to really question. You know? If you want, you know, like if you want to be certain in meditation, don't bother. It won't be, you know, if you've got to have results, don't bother. If you've got to find certainty, don't bother meditating, because it won't take you, it'll drive you nuts instead. Either that or you'll get obsessed and dogmatic about it. See, meditation is making it possible to dwell in the uncertain and just feel it out, feel what it's doing to you, and start to release the clenching, that certainty at systems and structures, certainty at sense of being, you know, this is who I am. And sometimes when we meditate, we come to areas where we don't feel this is really what I am or can be with or whatever. And that's what it will do if it's working. It will take you into areas where you don't feel yourself and you don't feel certain and you don't feel you're making progress and so forth. But along with that, there's the release brings around happiness or relief. Or release from pressure, because you know one thing is to start to enter these come out of certainty. The other thing is to actually, you know, your mind becomes more adept at just being with that. You feel this sense of relief from the future, relief from having to have an aim or an end, relief from having to be good at something, relief from dreading that you're bad at something. Relief from judgment. You know. So you're being relieved from this kind of pressure of the superego, the judgment. And instead, you know, and in tandem with that, in order to be with the uncertain, you have to open to the heart faculty, which is the sense of I can be with, it's a relational sense. You know. I can be peaceful with that, I can allow that, I can be present with that, and the sense of the embodiment faculty, which gives you the feeling of, you know, I'm here, I'm grounded. So the body, the heart help to relieve you from the pressure of the ordered, structured mind, which is very much the head center. So there can be the sense of really feeling quite grounded and alive and even slightly, you know, kind of joyful and extended without really knowing, you know, where you are, what's going on, what's going to happen in the future, whether this is the right thing. It's, you give instead what can happen is a kind of relief from all that. So look at the sense of order and structure and what how often we keep measuring ourselves in terms of, you know, things like how long we can sit, what it says in the book, you know, what the system is. Or the feeling of attainment. The other main enemy is called tanha, which means thirst. It's a kind of pathology. It's not the same as desire, but it's an unconscious reflex, just like thirst, you know, that kind of, or hunger, where something needs to grab. So there's a grabbing at sense phenomena, you know, and the other forms of grabbing are grabbing or thirst for being something, being somebody, being solid, being this, having arrived, being me, being one of these, being in the top team, you know, knowing where I am, these kind of things, which very much, you know, very strong in human societies. You know, winners, losers, top management, lower, better, higher, you know, these kinds of things. That's all about being something, and it has a very powerful effect. And the other is the thirst to not be anything, which is the feeling of wanting oblivion, you know, wanting to not feel things, wanting to not be seen, wanting to not have to be in contact with anything, not wanting to not be affected by anything, you know, just shell under the rock kind of sense. So, and these kind of these forces are not just like, we're not just one of them, we're generally three of those kind of playing. So we kind of move out into wanting to be something, we don't get it right, so then we want to hide under the rock of not being anything. Yeah. And I'm not really here. Yeah. So these two forces, thirst or hunger, pathology and ignorance, or not seeing, or not being in touch. The way it works is that because we want to be something, you know, then the ignorance tends to not allow us to see that clearly. We don't, for example, see the no matter what we may seem to be or become, it's always eventually unsatisfactory. As you can see in that, society, actually, you know, compared with many parts of the world, this is a rather more peaceful, affluent, running water, electricity, all these services, and so forth. And yet, we very rarely really sense that. You know, oh, national health doesn't work, buses are late, So we're not actually contented with all these things that we've developed. And then in terms of yourself, actually, most of us are at least healthy enough to become to sit here. We don't really feel the sense of our health, relative vitality or health. You might feel a, you know, a cough or a pain in the back. Oh, no, I'm so bad, suffer. So ignorance says you don't notice the bits that aren't causing you any problems, you know. You just notice the bits that are not as good as they could be or even should be. Damn it. But who said they should be? Ignorance said they should be. Desire, craving said they should be. So instead we start to, you know, recognize, well, to be with the painful, and it means you're also able to be with the non-painful. It doesn't become obsessive. It means, oh, this is the pleasant, this is the unpleasant. So that sense in which you tend to find yourself structuring around particular forces of desire and craving. You know, I'm the one who never got this. I'm the one who can't do that. I'm the one who, you know, this particular, that's what I am. I get structured around the deficiencies. So ignorance and craving to be, and how we attempt to satiate that by having something, a shiny new one of these will make me feel good, or, you know, doing something, some exercise, go to a different place, go out for the night, make you feel better. And yeah, you know, it does affect the surface, but it doesn't actually affect the basic pathology of not enough, you know, not enough, or not where it should be. And you get also the effects in subtle effects in meditation, as you're because of this structuring, you're only aware of what you program to be aware of. So, you know, for example, we'll tend to feel the places of intense pain or difficult feeling or pleasure rather than the neutral structure around that. We'll look for something that's got a reliable system to it rather than just being with the process of stuff coming and going. You feel a bit lost in that. So one of the skillful means is to be present in an unstructured way and just start to notice where the structuring happens. Now, what I mean by this is you're just sitting here with a kind of open mind, and then sooner or later start the thoughts, feelings, moods, memories start flowing through, and one of the two of those will suddenly become very central, resonant, and then you're in there with, but you never, you shouldn't have said that now, there, you know, I can't stand it, I'm never doing that anymore, or I've got to sort this out, I've got to figure this out, I'm going to do tomorrow, and what will I do, you know, should I do it this way, should I do it that way, maybe I should do this, maybe I should do that, or you know, something or the other, or something like some little vicious thought comes up, like to poke his eyes out, whatever. Just something comes up with a little bit of and you go, and then you, for a moment you're in there, you're kind of in that little piece of drama, and you're kind of napping away in it, and then you half wake up and think, oh dear, I shouldn't be in this. Oh, stop, what can I do to get out of this? You know, so you get this kind of flutter. Yeah. And essentially when we practice with open awareness, you know, there's kind of a little bit advanced, and you know, if you've never meditated before, it can be a bit tricky. You have got some meditation experience, some sense of having a centering, you know, a little bit of a reliable core, then you might start to add in sometimes when you're just sitting there and kind of like you're sitting in this room, seeing who's going to come in through the door. Who'll come to the door, walk out, and suddenly comes in, who's that? You know, what's that? And you start doing business on it. So then you stop, back off. And you back off, not with aversion or shouldn't be this way, but well, let's see this more clearly. You know, so let's step back so I can see this more clearly. So it's a kind of shift, but it's not a shift of this kind of reflex of uncertainty, or I shouldn't be that way, or this isn't the system, because you don't have a system, you just have pure witnessing. And so you step back and, well, what is this about? You know, I'm getting, this isn't fitting into my plan of where I should be, or here comes, I shouldn't have those kind of thoughts, or here comes, how dare they do that to me, or, you know, what's the mood, what's the feeling? This is, say, of irritation, or disappointment, or grief, or whatever it is. Even if you can't name it, you go more to the emotional state and just soften, widen, sense of just gentle sense of you're okay here, and you know, it's a kind of stepping back to a wider perspective that allows that particular form, that particular thought, that particular piece to come in, spin around, try and hook you, have a brief grapple, tussle with it, get hung up in it, see that, step back, and let it, you know, see what it does. I was going to say let it move on, but if I do, then we always approach the practice with how can this thing move on, you know, and then already we're prejudging it. Instead, we just step back and see what can be learned here. Maybe what can be learned here is, oh, some things really get me going, you know, or some things, you know, that I have to deal with, or some things that quite a lot of resentment. You know, this is the fifth one that's come in, it's brought up resentment. Or this is the third one that's come in, it's told me how useless I am. So you start to see particular pieces that you don't see. You start, this is how you get out of ignorance, because in a way it seems like impossible. If ignorance is there, how do you know what ignorance is? How can you know? Because ignorance, you're ignorant of it. The way you know what ignorance is you start to witness how attachment occurs, how getting caught occurs, how craving occurs, how resistance occurs, and you start to see that just through widening your awareness, there's a resolution. That widening awareness is actually the process of coming out of ignorance to a wider, more spacious quality. And it's just awareness itself. Now, because in a way we can say we're aware all the time, maybe, we don't know that, yes, there's awareness, but awareness is quite limited in its span, in its depth, in its ability to handle things. That is, yes, we're aware, but suddenly find ourselves lost in a little blur of activity, lost in a little blur of repeated negativity. Lost in a little bit of, I've got to do this. Lost in a little bit of, I'm never good enough. Lost in a little bit of it's up to me to make this work. You know, these kind of programs come up and you get lost in them. You lose that sense of refuge, awareness. So this is very much working on a kind of simple, well, relatively simple model I'd like to present to you of mind. Mind is both awareness and energy. Now, and ignorance is both an energetic loss of fluency. So energy is actually, you know, when you feel yourself locked, you can feel your energy closes, or you go numb, or you get frantic, sort of like a fly trapped against the glass. It's a locked energy. It's just banging away, hammering away in the same repetitive pattern. You know, when your mind is nagging on, you know, or you're caught in something that's going round and round, the same old process time and time again. That's what I mean by locked energy. And that's occurring when there's ignorance. It means that somehow through this locking, this reduction of span, your energy is not allowed to freely flow. It gets trapped. So what happens is the same repetitive thoughts, the same cycle of moods, the same sense of I'm stuck in this. This is, and because we feel it's repeated, some of these psychological patterns get repeated, become so normal that we think, this is what I am, because this is what happens repeatedly, so this must be what I am. You know, we don't think this, but that's the feeling, because whatever is repeated and normalized in our structuring, which looks for certainty in the repeated, the reliable, the normal and the predictable, whatever is reliable, normal and predictable becomes our center, becomes what we orient around, that becomes ourself. Now, if what's predictable, reliable and normal is depression, you know, or frustration, or resentment or these kind of things, or overreaching, pathological, trying to do more than we can do, that becomes our apparent self. We say, that's just the way I am. It's just the way I am. Every Tuesday I do the ironing. That's just the way, that's the way it is, it's truth, that's the ultimate reality. So why don't you do something else? Well, I can't do anything else because it's like this, a little flurry. That's locked. That means we've adopted a closure, adopted a restriction. Because although it's not that good, you know where you are. You know. That's the hunger for being is such that even if being is miserable and pathetic, we'll still orient around it. We don't, you know, this doesn't make sense, does it? Except it happens. You know? I mean, if we ask ourselves, we ask ourselves, how come you got into, you know, this again? Another one of these scenarios again. Another one of these, you know, doing, got to do this, got to do that again. Because it was like that last year, and the year before, and the year when you said you were going to change it, and the year when you did it. It's because it, and we always think, well, it's because of that out there, and that needed to be done, and she couldn't do it, and he said I should do it. So we can always find external causes. But there's an internal cause, which is, you know, some instinct searches for patterns to be. So, you know, the energy flows easily into those patterns, even though they can be rather locked. And I imagine that, you know, many of you would be able to tell your friends, you know, Susan, you've been doing this for 5 years, dear. Why don't you take a break? You know, you can see other people's stuff real clear. Like, you know, you're not that bad, you're great. Why do you have to know something about yourself? You know, you can see other people's patterns nice and clear. It's like your own. Oh, it's just the way I am, and it's true, and it becomes true because we keep living in accordance with it. To come out of patterns, of course, is a kind of risky business because it's coming into the unknown, the uncertain, the unknowable. That it isn't in the book. I don't know what other people think about it. Is this the right thing? It occurs around, you know, what distinguishes us. And so some people just, whatever they do, it's intense. They relax intensely. They work intensely. They meditate intensely. It's intensely. Other people, they can never get intense about anything. It's just, everything is just, well, maybe, never mind. Yes. Neither of these are enlightenment. You know. But the ability to recognize one's pattern and just step back and witnessing the energy that pulls you into that. Now, why we did things like a little bit of some, you know, body work, and this is always a good thing, is because the energy of awareness, which tends to drive it into these constricted patterns, is something you can experience in your body. You can experience when you're feeling tight, or intense, or supercharged, or you're up in your head, or, you know, or you feel really woozy and spaced out, you know. And so you can start to. Where's the center? You know, where's the spine? Where's the ground? You know, while using breathing and even moderating breathing, just to bring back to the center, to a sense of a healthy, steady, and energy there. And start to work on energy, and your energy will then support. It always support awareness and energy go together. So when your energy is settled, your awareness becomes more settled. Now when we go into something called like open awareness, we just be as open as we can, and then you start to notice on, almost on a, on an emotional or psychological or energetic level, what things get you jumping, what things get you charged up, what things make you want to close down, what things make you want to flurry, fluster. So that sense of just opening, when you notice something comes on, you go, oh, I just sort of and fidget. Oh, that was interesting, wasn't it? The little embarrassing thought comes into the mind, you can fidget. You know, sometimes actually physically you start fidgeting, or mentally, you can't. Or something comes along, and you go, wow. Oh, oh dear. You know, a bit embarrassed. Or something comes along, you go, oh, yeah. You know? And you can feel, you know, if you actually do that, you can feel the energies happening. You know, when you shrink with aversion, or you kind of get charged up with excitement, or you get kind of twitchy and itchy with embarrassment and awkwardness, and all those, if you recognize those energetic patterns, just okay, really okay, just linger in that pattern, that energy pattern, not in the topic but in the energy. And breathe in, breathe out, relax, soften it. So then your awareness will come out of that, the energy will come out of that. And then the topic, the idea, the thought, the memory, the hope, the desire, the fear, the hatred, whatever it is, will do what it has to do, will do what it does. Yeah? So, simplify topics. Come in, often very personal, very particular, very specific. That's not the topic, that's not the issue. Whatever the topic is, that is not the problem. That is not something, you just notice the topic, notice the pull, the fluster, the aversion, whatever kind of energetic response there is to that, notice that. You might notice that by repeating the topic, bring it back. Say, could you give me that again? Bring it back again. You know, the one that really got me going. Come back again. Where did I feel it? You know, maybe you felt it in your body, you know, contraction. So I really want to know what this is doing. I really want to get the conscious, no longer ignorant, but aware of that particular that energy. And as you bring the topic back, slow it down. And could you come back once more and kind of start waving your fists at me again? And then feel the energy of that. And then start, once you get the energy, kind of flustered, excited, charged, retracted, stay with that and soften, widen, breathe. Breathe in, breathe out. So you're not releasing the topic, but you're releasing the compulsive reaction to it. And in that release from a pattern of energy, you become released from who you are, or who you've learned to be. What you've learned to be is a series of programs and reactions that become your apparent self. This is what I do, this is who I am, is really a series of behaviours, of responses and reactions. So at this particular moment, we're not dealing with external action, we're just internal response. Here am I, you know, there's that sense of I shouldn't be this way. What that feels like. Yeah. Breathing in, breathing out. So the energy starts to come out of this compulsive pattern. Okay, so let's have Let's make 15 minutes, if that's all right. 15 minutes? Yeah. I know it's a little bit later, but is that all right?
Yes.
We don't operate according to the clock. We give ourselves 15 minutes of something, and then we'll close for the day.